Radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
We're one-upping Matt Campbell this week at KGYM. We're not saying Iowa or Iowa State.
I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Zaleski to punt. Vandenberg is back. Pressure coming.
Welcome back in. It is Monday. No, it's not. It's Tuesday. See what I did there? The 5th of September, Iowa State Week. You thought I was being serious. That's your fault. We have to say Iowa and Iowa State, right? We're not Matt Campbell. We don't get the choice of who we talk about and who we don't. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with my co-host Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock, and then at 7:01 tonight, it is skedaddle for the door because we have other obligations. It's the KGYM Listener Fantasy Football Draft tonight. We'll be meeting up with everybody at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Marion. Even if you're not in the league, just stop on in and say hi to us. And we'll be getting that underway at about 7:30, 7:45 tonight. Great show for you lined up today. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, will join us at the bottom of the hour, as he normally does on Mondays. Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com will be with us at 5 o'clock, and we will find it in ourselves to talk a little Major League Baseball today with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. He's with us at 6:05. Great giveaway for you all week here on the program. We've got tickets to Get the Lead Out at the Paramount Theater. That's coming up Thursday the 14th. So next week, next Thursday, you can go listen to all your Led Zeppelin favorites at the Paramount Theater by a tremendous, can we call them a tribute band? Is that what they are, a tribute band? Cover band sounds terrible. It sounds like somebody in their garage charging $5. These guys are really good, and that's why we're giving away tickets for you. We'll have your chance to win with us before 7 o'clock tonight. Which team did we learn the most about Saturday, Iowa or Iowa State? 319-366-1600. It is also the Emil's Hideaway poll question today at KGYMradio.com. What's up, Alex? How was your three-day weekend?
Oh, it was pretty terrible, but glad to turn the page to
this
week.
How could it be terrible? We had college football.
I know, just a series of unfortunate events that we will not get into, but and it carried over a little bit into today, Tuesday, but nobody cares. You still have to do 3 hours of radio. We still are going to do the KGYM radio listener draft this evening, and we still have to talk about Iowa and Iowa State, so it can't be all that bad.
There was football last night, too, an entertaining game between Tennessee and Georgia Tech. I was struck by two things last night. Both of those teams, obviously, Iowa has played in recent seasons in bowl games. I say recent, the Orange Bowl now will have been, what, 7 seasons ago? That seems hard to fathom, but I can't watch Tennessee without thinking of the debacle in Jacksonville, the Tax Slayer Bowl. And if I had a dollar for every time I heard Rocky Top, and not to make light of PTSD, but it brought back some bad memories about that trip to Jacksonville. And Georgia Tech, every time I watch Georgia Tech, all I can think of is Norm Parker, the late, great Norm Parker, explaining how to slow down or how to stop the Georgia Tech offense, which Iowa did to great success that day at the Orange Bowl. But it didn't take long to get the juices flowing in week one to remind everybody, at least from my standpoint, why college football is so great, because there were some really good games and some big up. Look, Howard goes on the road and beats UNLV. Baylor loses at home. There were some major upsets, some fun games. Last night's was exciting. At Tennessee coming back and winning. Georgia Tech goes for 2 in overtime to try to win the thing. Iowa beats Wyoming on Saturday. and then gets to go home, fires up Cyclones.tv so that they can watch Iowa State, UNI. UNI has traditionally been a thorn in Iowa State's side in recent memory, and Iowa State blows the doors off on Saturday night. So that's the question. Which team did we learn more about Saturday watching? Iowa beat Wyoming or Iowa State beating UNI? 319-366-1600. We had a great time at Fry Fest on Friday, by the way, and I do want to let everybody know, if you picked up one of the cards at our booth at Fry Fest, we will be calling a couple numbers today. We will go until somebody wins $100. And if I have to call 300, I'm not going to have to call 300 numbers. I bet we get a winner sometime within the first two or three numbers today, but I understand that the gym class called a number and did not get a winner. So we'll call a couple today, and we'll see if we can find a winner. But thank you to everybody who stopped by the booth at Fry Fest. I know Mitch King was very appreciative of seeing everybody. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joined me in the big hour, brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. The podcast, if you missed it, is available at KGYMRadio.com. And here we go. It's a shortened week for us. I don't like not being on the air on Monday of Iowa-Iowa State week, but I do like not being on the air on Labor Day. So I'm not going to complain that we were not on the air yesterday. But what this does is you have 1 week where I think the football passion is truly burning at a fever pitch in this state, and we get it cut short by it. Why couldn't Labor Day be North Texas or Wyoming? It's Iowa-Iowa State week, and we'll get it kicked off, as we mentioned, John Walters and Tom Kakert giving us the Cyclone and Hawkeye perspective today. I'll ask you, because I know you watched both games over the weekend, who did you have more answers, or where did you get more answers, Iowa State or Iowa?
I think it's pretty close, but there were a lot more questions coming in about Iowa State than there were about Iowa, and there were a lot of questions coming in about both teams, but Iowa State was the team that was going to make a huge improvement and is, I think, going to make a huge improvement from 2016 to 2017. And we saw a lot of those questions answered. What will the offense look like with the two running back system? David Montgomery was dinged up a little bit, but he had a pretty good game. I thought Iowa State looked like, it looked good, not great. I think they can play much better than they did against UNI, which is good news because they controlled that game from the get-go. But plenty of questions were answered about Iowa as well. What will the defense look like? They were fantastic against Josh Allen in Wyoming. The secondary looked good despite missing one of their best cornerbacks in Manny Rugumba. And Todd, last year at this very time, we were sitting here, I think you were sitting here saying, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement around this year's Cy-Hawk game. Iowa State was coming off that embarrassing loss to UNI, and Iowa was at the time ranked in the top 15.
42-3.
It was 42-3. Yeah. This year, it is completely different. I think Vegas has this as a near pick'em, 1.5-point favorites are the Hawkeyes.
Iowa's a favorite of 1.5 going on the road, which is essentially sort of giving the nod to Iowa State there.
And I think a lot of Iowa State fans are hopeful because these first four games for Iowa State, they could very well be 4-0. They could very well be 2-2. Texas and Iowa, two very winnable games and two big tests for a team to see if they can finish a game against a team that they're not necessarily better than, but they're not a huge underdog against.
We've got coaches' cuts coming up today in the 5 o'clock hour from Network Computer Solutions. Kirk Ferentz meeting members of the media in Iowa City earlier today. He did address the Ed Cunningham controversy, which I assume you and Alex talked about last week when I was on vacation that day.
We talked about it a little bit.
As long as it got touched on in a timely fashion. Are you ready before we get to the text line, or before we get to the phone lines, I should say, are you ready for a hot take from the text line?
Yes.
67-39, good win for Iowa, but UNI is a better team than Wyoming.
That
on
is
a scale of 1 to 10 Skip Baylesses, with 10 being Skip and Stephen A. Smith screaming at one another like the old days, how hot does that take?
I'd say that's somewhere between Colin Cowherd and Skip Bayless.
Would you say you and I? Would you say you and I was a better team than Wyoming, or is a better team than Wyoming?
Probably not.
The you and I's probably got a better punter. I felt really bad for the Zaleski kid, who's it's spelled differently. I shouldn't have to say this, but no relation to former Iowa wrestling coach Jim Zaleski. That actually went down as a punt of negative 5 yards because the ball made contact with his foot, but was not blocked,
and it rolled.
So it's a punt of negative 5 yards in the box score. Josh Allen, by the way, and I found this out reading the ticker on the bottom of the ESPN broadcast today, injured his non-throwing shoulder Saturday against Iowa, but he's expected to play in Wyoming's home opener in week two. I sent a text to Tyler, my former co-host, and I said, I'm buying you a Josh Allen jersey, because even though the numbers weren't that good, he passed the eyeball test. That's an NFL caliber quarterback. The problem is, he didn't have anybody around him that could make plays.
His receivers were terrible.
And as we've seen,
just terrible.
As we've seen in the past, when some really good players have come into Kinnick Stadium on really bad teams, one player is not going to be able to beat a team like Iowa. And that's where you have it with Josh Allen. But there were two guys in the post-game news conference on Saturday, and I don't even know who they work for. And we called them Stadler and Waldorf. And they wound up, those are the characters who sit in the balcony on the Muppets, by the way, if you don't know who Stadler and Waldorf are. And these guys, they were entertaining for a number of reasons, but the one guy referred to Iowa as we in asking a question of Coach Ferentz. But in between the players coming into the room and Coach Ferentz coming into the room, these two guys, Stadler and Waldorf, are going back and forth, and they're discussing Josh Allen. And the one guy goes, that sure didn't look like an NFL prospect to me.
Now, that is a sizzling hot take.
And that's a that's an eight on the Skip Bayless hot. And I wanted to turn around and go, then you haven't watched much football.
No.
But I'm sorry.
Football might not be for you.
If you think an NFL draft prospect means 37 of 42 for 451 in the box score, then you're right. That wasn't Josh Allen on Saturday. That kid one of the first passes he threw, it just looked like he flicked his wrist and the ball it was shot out of a cannon. And I thought, okay, he passes the eyeball test. But then the last quarterback that I said about that was Blaine Gabbert. So
He passed the eyeball test, though.
He did.
They can't take that away from you.
He did.
He definitely did.
And hasn't passed for much else in the NFL. 19 minutes here. Let's get to Sonny in Iowa City. He'll bat lead off this Cyhawk week for us. 319-366-1600. Sonny, what you got today?
Well, I mean, as far as passing the eyeball test, I mean, you have the best people in the NFL that are no better than a coin flip at predicting success for quarterbacks. So that's a pretty tall order, I'd have to say. He didn't have a lot of room to throw it into, though, that's for sure. And I don't know if it was a combination of him having terrible receivers or them having a bad day, or Iowa's secondary actually looked good, but Iowa's secondary looked great, which is just a super unique feeling for Hawkeye fans. I can't remember the last time I felt this great about a secondary, and I even said that watching the game. I was like, well, I don't know when the offense is going to get tuned up here, but watching this secondary is a lot of fun, and it really was that. The defense they were monsters out there, and again, you know, you ask who looks better, Iowa State or Iowa. I think they both looked like they were overmatching their opponents who didn't quite have the level of skill that they had. They both looked rough in certain areas, but, I mean, this weekend is going to be the real test, right? Like, we're both feeling pretty good about life, which is exactly what you want coming into the game. Both fan bases are going to be super excited, and I think the Hawks have a lot to be excited about. I like having – this is why I don't like going into, like, for big games the first game of the weekend. Now you got to get a little bit warmed up for the whole thing. So I'm pretty happy.
Thank you, Sonny. Leave it to the Canadian to call in with moderation there. This is Sports Talk Radio. Everybody's supposed to drag their heels and make their mark in the sand and say, no, Iowa looks better. Iowa State looks better. Leave it to Sonny. the voice of reason here to say, yeah, you know, both teams look like they probably overmatched their opponent.
That's exactly what it looked like.
And I'm kidding, of course, but, you know, and I would say the same thing, but that's sort of boring, isn't it? To say, okay, look, you can't take anything out of either one of these games. Iowa and Iowa State, we'll find out more about them Saturday in Ames, which is the God's honest truth. But to sit there, well, you and I was better than Wyoming. And I was, look, and no, both Iowa and Iowa State were better than the team that they played. And that's all that matters. And you know, Iowa State certainly put up some points and looked impressive doing it. Iowa looked like Iowa football to me. And that's not a put down of Kirk Ferentz. Now, Sonny talked about the defensive backs. Josh Jackson looked pretty good. And remember, Manny Rugumba was suspended last week. He's back, expected to be in the lineup this week in Ames, Jack Trace Stadium. So, yeah, the secondary, but the linebackers. 1, 2, 3 on the tackle chart. You got Josie Jewell, who's Walter Camp Defensive Player of the Week, for his performance. That I thought the Iowa defense looked pretty good on Saturday, and that's going to be – this is probably going to be one of those years. Here comes week one hot take overreaction. But this looks like it might be one of those years – where Iowa uglies it up on the offensive side of the football until maybe the Hawkeyes find their footing and the defense carries the way, where the Hawkeyes are winning a lot of games 17-14. It is, again, a week one overreaction on my part, but the defense way out in front of the offense at Kinnick Stadium, at least in my opinion. Now, I thought James Butler looked good. We know what Akram Wadley is. Iowa wasn't playing with a full complement of its starting offensive lineman. James Daniels is out. Now, Kirk said today it looks like things will be back to normal with the starting depth chart for the offensive line, although Alaric Jackson has sort of wedged himself into some playing time. The receivers, you can't really make any judgments.
Yeah, they only played three. Only three of them caught a pass.
Now, I will say this, and I think I said it on the post-game show with you guys, and I certainly said it to a couple other people I was talking about the game with on Saturday night. I think Iowa's game plan was to get by Wyoming showing as little as possible. Not necessarily just for the Iowa State game this weekend, but I think Iowa goes into week one saying, do what you can to win the game and not show as much of the playbook as possible. And they certainly accomplished that because there didn't seem to be a ton of inspiring play calling from Brian Ferentz, and I think that was by design. Now, I know people out there are listening, and I bet there's Iowa State fans going, eh, he's just poor boy. He's making excuses because Iowa didn't look very good. I don't think that's the case at all. I honestly think that that was part of the game plan. Now, does that mean that we're going to see exotics right and left at Jack Trice Stadium this weekend? No, probably not. But I don't think Iowa wanted to show a whole lot to Iowa State and the rest of the world on Saturday. They did what they needed to do to win the game. Iowa State did the same thing. And now here we are on this epic collision course Saturday in Ames. We will break it down for you pre- and post-game coverage once again here on KGYM before the boom and after the final gun. Details about that coming up in just a little bit. 4:24, we will step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll get you up to date with what's going on in the world. Kyle's going to have his first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day and more. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Back after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the Pet Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. September's here, and that means fans will be seeing some names on the Cubs roster they may not recognize. One of those is of right-handed reliever Dylan Maples. Drafted in the 14th round of the 2011 MLB Draft, the 25-year-old was nearly released by the Cubs in spring training before he was assigned to Myrtle Beach of the Carolina League. For reference, that's just one step above the Midwest League, where he spent part of three seasons pitching. Promotions to AA and AAA soon followed, and at each step he continued to dazzle, striking out 100 batters in just 63 and a third innings using a wipeout slider. Maples made his Major League debut Sunday in the Cubs' 5-1 loss to Atlanta, getting a pair of groundouts before issuing a walk and then striking out third baseman Rio Ruiz to end the inning. It's true what they say, in Maples' case, perseverance paid off.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The final days of the Ford Summer Sales Event are here, and so is our best offer of the year on F-150. Get 0% financing for 72 months plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry, sale ends September 5th. Time is running out to save on America's best-selling brand and save big on the Ford F-150. Just announced, 0% financing for 72 months plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Get to your Ford dealer. The summer sales event ends soon. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade Assist Cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by September 5th, 2017.
Welcome back in 427. Alex making the astute observation that I am all Clinton countied up tonight for the KGYM listener fantasy football draft.
I hadn't
draft.
Seen the jersey yet.
You hadn't seen the Casey Kreider jersey. I've got my...
It's pretty spiffy.
I believe orange is the home jersey, right?
Yes.
For the Broncos?
Yes.
I got my Casey Kreider jersey on and my Clinton Lumber Kings hat on is the first one that I grabbed out of the closet on the way out the door today, so... I'm Mr. Clinton County for the draft tonight. No apologies given. Alex, what is your brother's number at Memphis, his uniform number?
71.
71. If you joined us at Fry Fest on Friday, we were handing out numbered cards, and we asked you a very simple favor. Listen into today's program. We were going to call a number or numbers, and the first person that we got to actually call was going to win $100. If you are holding card number 71, that's Gabe Kuhn in your program and in your heart. Card number 71, if you give us a call at 319-366-1600, you're going to win $100. Now, you do need to have proof of having that card. You need to bring it with you here to the station. So don't 30 people call and say, yeah, I've got card 71. No, it doesn't work that way. But if you have that card. Now, Kyle can't answer the phone right now. Kyle Mann, our producer, because he's in the studio ready for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where, you guessed it, you're the one.
The Iowa football team beat Wyoming 24-3 on Saturday, thanks largely to its defense, which held Josh Allen to under 200 yards passing, and linebacker Josie Jewell is feeling the love after his performance. His 14 tackles, 7 solo, 2 sacks, and 2 more tackles for loss earned him the Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week, as well as Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today, and he told us that Iowa's captains this week will be Jewell, Nathan Budgeta, Sean Welsh, and Kevin Ward. Northern Iowa's basketball schedule was released today, and it starts fast with a trip to Chapel Hill to meet North Carolina on November 10th. The first home game will be with Alcorn State on November 13th, and the first conference game will be hosting Southern Illinois on December 28th. The Colonels wrapped up their regular season over the weekend, dropping a series to the Beloit Snappers, but got some great news in regards to their impending postseason series with Kane County. Clark Beaker will return to Cedar Rapids from Fort Myers and will start Game 2 against the Cougars on Thursday. He made 20 starts for the Colonels this season, going 11-3 with an ERA just over 2. They'll start that playoff series tomorrow night at home. Tonight after our show, we've got our KGYM listener draft, and you guys have the Twins and Rays from Tampa. It's Bartolo Colon and Jake Odorizzi on the mound. They'll start shortly after 6, and we'll join them in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
The NFL has moved the Dolphins-Buccaneers game that is scheduled for Sunday to a later date because of the impending landfall of Hurricane Irma. And that's unfortunate for a number of reasons, but especially if you had a fantasy football draft recently where perhaps a couple of your top picks were Mike Evans and Devontae Parker, and then it's a two-quarterback league, so you drafted Jay Cutler in the 11th round. Just thinking of nobody in particular there. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, is set to join us next, coming up on the Todd Brummel Camp Show.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Linder Tire Service, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. The NFL released a statement that Sunday's season opener between the Buccaneers and Dolphins will not be played in Miami due to the potential impact of Hurricane Irma. The league continuing to examine other options, which include playing the game this Sunday at a neutral site or in Miami later this season. UCF's football game against Memphis moved to 6:30 Eastern Friday night in anticipation of Irma. A decision expected on the appeal of the six-game suspension for Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott today. New York Times reports Yankees GM Brian Cashman filed a complaint with Major League Baseball 2 weeks ago that the Red Sox were using video and electronic devices to steal hand signals from opposing catchers during the team's three-game series. The Red Sox filed a counter-complaint alleging the Yankees used a camera from Yes exclusively to steal signals during games. Lakers president Magic Johnson told the LA Times he wants the $500,000 tampering fine taken out of his paycheck. The team punished last week for violating the NBA's anti-tampering rule. GM Rob Pelinka had contact with Paul George's agent after having already been warned.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
The final days of the Ford Summer Sales event are here, and so is our best offer of the year on F-150. Get 0% financing for 72 months plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry, sale ends September 5th. Whoa, whoa, time is running out to save on America's best-selling brand and save big on the Ford F-150. Just announced, 0% financing for 72 months plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Get to your Ford dealer. The summer sales event ends soon.
Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by September 5th, 2017.
Up to 40% off hot deals with Dell's Labor Day sale and free shipping on everything? That's huge. Dell has all the technology you need with an amazing selection, including the latest Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, brilliant 55-inch Sony HD smart TV, and so many great electronics. Shop big Labor Day deals by visiting Dell.com/Labor Day. You could save up to 40% on select products by calling 800-BUY-DELL.
AutoZone presents Peak Performance. Maximizing fuel economy, engine life, and overall performance doesn't take a lot. Thanks to fuel treatment and fluids from AutoZone. Right now, you can save $4 on 16 ounces of Seafoam motor treatment for only $7.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Oh, it should be a fun night tonight at Brick Alley Sports Pub and Bar in Marion. The KGYM Listener Fantasy Football Draft is on tap tonight. Stop on out and say hi, even if you're not one of the nine other guys who made their way into the league. We somehow, this was like wrangling cats, but we managed to get everybody and get them into the league and get everything set up, and we'll go over everything tonight if you're listening, and I know many of you most likely are. We're looking forward to having a good time. Oh, gee, if only there was something to talk about with our next guest today. He joins us fresh off the heels of Iowa State's victory over UNI last weekend, and there's another in-state school on Iowa State's schedule this week, but I don't know whether he's following Matt Campbell's lead and not saying their name or not, but John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, joins us here, courtesy of Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship. That's truewealthstewardship.com if you want more information. And John, we were talking in the first 30 minutes of the program today, so I'll ask you the question that we were discussing. What did we learn about Iowa State from its opener against UNI?
Well, I think they kept it pretty simple for the most part, so I'm not sure we learned everything that there is to learn, but I do think we learned that they're going to be a little bit more suited to overcome adversity, I think, this year. You know, last year when adversity struck, they really struggled with that at times. And UNI took the ball right down the field and scored on its opening possession. But I didn't see Iowa State really flinch at that point. They hung in there, and the defense started making some big plays. And then next thing you know, Iowa State had a lead. But I thought the game really turned when David Montgomery put together three straight tremendous runs toward the end of the first half and put Iowa State in the end zone to go up 21-10. And I think it just really sent a message to both sidelines that Iowa State at that point was in control of the football game. And in the second half, their offense came out and played very well. So, you know, we learned a little bit about the offensive and defensive lines, that there is some talent there. It's not a perfect solution at any measure yet, but there's some talent there and some guys that were making some plays and doing some good things. So, you know, a long way to go, but a good first step, I thought.
Where does this team still need to grow the most after week one?
Great question. A lot of areas. You know, their secondary gave up some big plays in the game against UNI. UNI had a lot of what I would call, you know, explosive plays of 20 yards or more. So I think tackling angles is very important for Iowa State, especially this week with a guy like Akram Wadley. If you take bad angles, he's going to make you look really bad. And even if you take a good angle, he might make you look really bad. So, you give yourself a chance if you take a good angle. And I think sometimes Iowa State over-pursued plays to the point where, what should have been a minimal gain turned into a bigger gain. So it's important for them to get back to the drawing board and learn from that. But that's what's great about having that first game for both teams, I think, before this one, is they each have a film to watch. They each have areas where they can get things corrected. And then you probably see a little bit more fine-tuned teams in week two than you would if these two teams were meeting in week one. So I'm excited. I think the quality of play will be really good this Saturday. And I don't think these teams are going to be finished products even after this game. But they're going to be a lot closer to it than they were going into week one.
Iowa State play-by-play man John Walters joining us on the program. Camilo Tongamoa, we talked a lot about him in the preseason, namely, where was he? He finally showed up in Ames late. He got onto the field for some snaps against the Panthers. What are the chances that we see him play a little bit of a bigger role this Saturday?
Well, I think the coaches will be cautious with that. I think he'll continue to play some, but he's not a fine-tuned machine yet. You know, they really haven't had a lot of time with him. But he did do some very good things. He really moved the UNI offensive lineman back. He had a really good push. And he came in, I think, to camp in better shape than the coaches anticipated. Not perfect shape, but better than they thought he might. And so that's always the challenge when a guy gets there late. What kind of condition is he in? How much can he play? How quickly can he learn? But I think that he's talented enough that they'll continue to put him out there in spots and see what he can do. But this isn't a game where you experiment too much either. I mean, this is a game where you have to have your best out there. But that's going to be so important for Iowa State's success this season over the long haul, is developing some depth along that defensive line. You just can't have success running the same guys out there for 100 plays, especially the way college football is today with the tempo that teams play, particularly in the Big 12. You're going to have, you know, at least a two, if not a three deep interior defensive line rotation. And So I think Camille Wotangamoa, as the season goes on, his role will grow every single week. I'm just not expecting a quantum leap this week.
John, I want to throw a question your way from one of our texters. 7295 wants to know your thoughts on playing this game the second week of the season as opposed to week three, the way that it was normally played for a number of years, I think up until about 2008, maybe. 2009 was when the switch was made. But do you like seeing this in week two, or was this contest better suited later on in the non-conference season?
I like it in week two because I think this game gets a lot of emphasis. So it kind of has its own stage right there in the middle of your non-conference games. You come out of this game, each team has an opportunity to play one more before they get into their conference. You know, in Iowa State's case, they're going to have a bye after the Akron game before the Thursday night game with Texas. And so that'll be a nice clean break. But I think with all the emotion that goes into this game, it's probably better off being right smack dab in the middle of your three non-conference opportunities. And the one year that stands out in my mind was the year of 9/11 when they moved it back into November, and that game had a very high intensity level, and it was fun to see the rivalry game at the end of the season like you see with, you know, a lot of the big rivalries in college football, whether it's Michigan, Ohio State, or USC and UCLA or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of great college rivalries that end seasons, but usually they're within the same conference, and so since it's a non-conference game, I think it makes sense to play it when they do. And week two, to me, is a really good time to do it. I think it gives each team a chance to really ramp up for that game, but then to also be able to get their focus turned where it needs to be into conference play in plenty of time for that.
John, I know you probably don't follow the Vegas lines, but this game opens as a 1.5-point game where Iowa's favorite. It's a toss-up. And I think last year there were a lot of games where Iowa State was there. The games were there for the taking in the fourth quarter, and an inexperienced team has trouble winning those types of games. How important are games like these, where they are such a toss-up, two teams that are pretty equally matched? How important is this for Iowa State's psyche to prove that they can win games like this?
Well, I think that would be really big for this team to win a close game like that. You know, I think last year when they did that, finally they broke through on the road at Kansas and won a close game. It really did wonders for their psyche. They came back the next week and they absolutely blew out Texas Tech. So I think, you know, to get one of those early this year would really be helpful. You look at the four losses that Iowa State had last year by a touchdown or less, and they gave up a lot of rushing yards, and that's the biggest thing, is can they improve their rush defense, especially this week? You know, I mean, Iowa would love nothing more than to hand the ball off to Akram Wadley and James Butler 50, you know, 60 times and just continue to run and open up holes and run downhill. They would love to have Nathan Stanley throw the ball when he wants to instead of when he needs to, you know, from Iowa State's perspective, it's the exact opposite. So I think rush defense is really going to be crucial for Iowa State. They're going to have some effectiveness on first and second down in that department to put Stanley in some situations where he has to make a big throw to keep a drive alive. And then they can maybe get some pressure on him. But, you know, to be able to pull out a close one, I think would be really big for the psyche of this team going forward. And I think they're confident that they're going to be able to pull out more close games this year, A, because I think the rush defense will be better on the whole, but also because they have a seasoned quarterback now in Jacob Park who, you know, in a close situation, in a tight game, hopefully can make some plays to keep their drives alive and to move the chains. And we saw him do that last week really effectively. The Iowa State found itself in some 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9s, quite a few of them. And Park consistently in that second half was able to convert those, and that was a big step for this team.
You talked about it there for a second. Iowa's game plan is going to be run the football and throw it when they have to and win the game with their defense. What kind of game does Iowa State want to make this?
Well, I think Iowa State has to use the entire field, you know, and stretch the field horizontally and vertically. And I know a lot of teams try to do that against Iowa, and, you know, Wyoming tried to do that and had no success whatsoever doing that. Iowa State has to be better at it. They have to block better on the perimeter. They have to try to get some plays out of their running game. David Montgomery had a really good game last week. They have to open up better holes with the offensive line. That has to improve a little bit. But, you know, I think one thing that Iowa State has in its corner is a very good group of receivers who can make plays in space. And if they can get them out in some space, they can turn smaller plays into bigger plays. That's hard to do against Iowa because Iowa's as sound a tackling team as you're going to face. They always have been a really good tackling team. They very seldom give up yards after contact. And so you have to kind of create that space. It's not something where you're going to break a lot of tackles necessarily, but there's ways to create space. And there's some weapons there for Iowa State that can get out and make plays if that opportunity presents itself. They're going to have to take advantage of those opportunities.
All right, John, we're having some fun with this week. Matt Campbell's sort of aversion to referencing Iowa and the Hawkeyes. If I told you that your job was at stake and you needed to do an entire broadcast without referencing Iowa or the Hawkeyes, do you think you could do it?
Sure, absolutely.
Give me an example. Well, you're calling the action, and you've got to describe something either relating to an Iowa player or the Hawkeyes.
I'm not gonna avoid calling them by their name. I have to laugh because, as I recall, unless I'm really misremembering, to borrow a Roger Clemens term, wasn't it Brian Ferentz that first wouldn't refer
yes.
to Iowa State as Iowa State?
Yes, yes it
so
was.
Had to start there.
Yes, it was.
So I don't know. Silliness that surrounds this game is It's fun and it's part of it, and I think fans enjoy this rivalry. At least most do in this state. I think it's kind of our national holiday. It's kind of our opportunity to showcase our state to a national television audience and say, you know, we care about our programs, we care about our universities, we love our schools, and we support them with a ton of passion. And I think that's a great, great thing for our state. So. I won't get too worked up about that stuff, but I'm certainly not afraid to call the Hawkeyes the Hawkeyes.
John, we appreciate it as always. It feels like a Monday, but it's Tuesday. That means we're one day closer to seeing you at Jack Trace Stadium on Saturday, one day closer to hearing you on the call and right here on 1600 AM. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for having me. Take care.
John, brought to you by Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship. And
a big gain for the team out east.
Ackerman, he's absolutely,
off right tackle.
He's absolutely right. This started with
exactly.
Brian Ferentz on the Hawk Central radio program.
Yes, it did.
With Chad Lystico and those guys, in which he was talking about recruiting tactics, and he referenced those guys in Ames. So he didn't say Iowa State. And now this has become a battle back and forth of, well, they started it. Well, they're escalating it. And it's going to get to the point. Is this good or bad, you guys think? 319-366-1600. Do you like the tone that this series is now taking with sort of Brian Ferentz taking the Iowa mantle here? Because we know that Kirk goes and he thinks French vanilla ice cream is a little bit too fancy. I mean, he wants regular old plain vanilla. So you've got Brian Ferentz, who by proxy is sort of leading the charge here for the Iowa program. And then you've got Matt Campbell, who's in year number two, and he's trying to make a name for himself. And he's not afraid to throw some jabs at Iowa's way, even though he's played one game against him and it was 42-3. And I'm surprised Iowa's not playing that up a little bit more this week, although I'm sure some people at the football complex are. Look, the Iowa State fight song is going to be played over and over. They do this every year in the locker room. Coach Doyle, the strength and conditioning coach of the Hawkeyes, and a couple of the other coaches try to drive home the dislike for Iowa State in this series. But do you think the tenor of this series is headed in the right direction now that you have Brian Ferentz and Matt Campbell sort of referring to those guys in Ames and the school out east? 319-366-1600. You can let us know on the text line. And somebody is asking what Kirk Ferentz's record is against Iowa State. Well, it's not great. It's not awful. But I think you probably are asking a question that you know the answer to. 319 866-1600. I don't know which way I'm going to go on this game. I said a week ago, that I thought Iowa was going to go 3-0 in the non-conference this season, and that was going to necessitate a win at Iowa State to make that happen. And not that I'm overreacting to week one, but I'm sitting going, how sound was that? Because Iowa State's not going to treat Nathan Stanley as if he's wearing a red jersey on Saturday. And Kirk Ferentz talked about today Nathan Stanley's ball security issues and said, look, the only way that you can learn how to protect the ball when you're a Division I quarterback is to play in games, because they don't hit during practice. So Stanley's got to get that under control, because this Iowa State team is not Wyoming, and Jack Trice Stadium isn't Kinnick Stadium. And, you know, this isn't a home environment for Stanley, so he's making his first career road start, and he's doing it against the Cyclones, and I guarantee you they're going to be ratcheting up the intensity.
They're going to want to key on this running game and make Nate Stanley beat them. And that's easier said than done. But Wyoming did it to some success in the first half. And it kind of exposed a little bit the Iowa offensive line in that first half. They tightened things down in the second half and were able to run the football and throw the football when they needed to. Iowa State wants to make this into a game played in the 30s. Iowa wants this game to be played in the mid to high teens or the low 20s. Whoever can play the game more to their pace is going to win. And like you said, I don't know which direction I'm going to go, because Iowa's defensive backfield was very good in the first game against Wyoming. It will be a whole different ball game when you have a couple of receivers like Alan Lazard and Marchie Murdoch and Hakeem Butler, the 6'8 guy on the outside, to match up against. There will be a distinct size advantage for Iowa State with their wide receivers, and it's just going to be a very interesting game to watch.
3664 on the text line says, until Iowa is known nationally as the Cyclone State, the middle brother should just be quiet. Iowa is actually known as the Hawkeye State after the Last of the Mohicans, a James Fenimore Cooper book. It is not referred to as the Hawkeye State because of anything relating to the University of Iowa. It's just sort of a happy accident, as Bob Ross would say, and that makes me think of the joy of punting, which makes me think of the listener fantasy draft tonight, which makes me think that we need to go to a commercial break so that we can get more. Look, the Hawkeye State has nothing to do with Iowa State. Absolutely nothing. Zero. 319-366-1600. You ever read the book?
I have not.
Last of the Mohicans? Yeah. There's a movie. Daniel Day-Lewis was in the movie. I have not read the book either. Be back with more of the Todd Brolenkamp Show after this.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion.
Oh, we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. Oh, we will fight with might for Iowa State, with the will to do or die. Rah, 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 loyal sons forever true, and we will fight the battle through. And when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank. This is the Jim Scott Udash. Thursday afternoon at 3, we'll come to you live from the KGYM Tailgate Tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym class will be live at Kennedy before their matchup with Dubuque Hempstead. Here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We'll talk with coaches and athletes as we count down to kickoff and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM Tailgate Tour with the Iowa National Guard. Thursday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
Welcome back in. The character of Hawkeye in the novel The Last of the Mohicans was also known as Natty Bumpo. There's your hour of knowledge today on the Todd Bromelkamp Show. It's not the Natty Bumpo state. It's the Hawkeye state. But that has absolutely nothing to do with Iowa and Iowa State and college athletics. Zero. It just happens to be the state motto. And Iowa fans exploit it to no end, and it bothers Iowa State fans to no end. And both sides come off kind of seeming a little bit ignorant about it. Meanwhile, you've got you and I fans that are just off to the side wondering, hey, what about us? Well, they lost to Iowa State over the weekend. We'll talk to Gary Reima about things moving forward for the Panthers coming up on Wednesday. We have tickets to Get the Lead Out at the Paramount Theater next week. Coming up, your chance to win in hour number two. But first, Kyle Mann is back in the studio with us for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa football team beat Wyoming 24-3 on Saturday, thanks largely to its defense, which held Josh Allen to under 200 yards passing, and linebacker Josie Jewell is feeling the love after his performance. His 14 tackles, 7 solo, 2 sacks, and 2 more tackles for loss earned him the Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week award, as well as Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today, and he told us that Iowa's captains this weekend will be Jewell, Nathan Budgeta, Sean Welsh, and Kevin Ward. Northern Iowa's basketball schedule was released today, and it starts fast with a trip to Chapel Hill to meet North Carolina on November 10th. The first home game will be with Alcorn State on November 13th, and the first conference game will be hosting Southern Illinois on December 28th. The Colonels wrapped up their regular season over the weekend, dropping a series to the Beloit Snappers, but they got some great news in regards to their impending postseason series with Kane County. Clark Beaker will return to Cedar Rapids from Fort Myers and will start Game 2 against the Cougars on Thursday. He made 20 starts for the Colonels this season, going 11-3 with an ERA just over 2. And they'll start that playoff series tomorrow night at home. Tonight after our show, we've got our KGYM listener draft, and you guys have the Twins and Rays from Tampa. It's Bartolo Colon and Jake Odorizzi on the mound. They'll start shortly after 6, and we'll join them in progress on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
That's going to do it for hour number one of the Todd Bromelkamp Show. We got the Cyclone perspective on things from John Walters. We'll touch on the Hawkeyes coming up in just a few minutes with Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com. Tickets to Get the Lead Out next Thursday at the Paramount Theater are on the way sometime after 5 o'clock. Be listening for your chance to win.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com.